Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
He was seen yelling at people and challenging...
Shirt or no shirt?
Shoes? Pants?
I think he was fully clothed.
Okay, really? Go ahead. He's confronting people.
Challenging them to a fight that's last Saturday night at Chili's Grill and Bar in Vero Beach. Let's see, he was seen running up to people and trying to fight with them. When one of the deputies asked him his name, he replied, "My name is F U Cracker."
Well, that might be his name. You might have changed it.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We're at Chatter. We're live at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest in Friendship Heights. I'm not going to do too many plugs. I'm not going to announce what the specials are. I'm going to thank everybody who came in here over Memorial Day weekend and thank the people who are here today. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Big weekend, Tom? Yes, in the sense that the numbers were high.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It was the 25th, 26th, and 27th of the month. High numbers in the month. What did I want to say? I just got sidetracked completely by Saliza.
Sorry.
Chris Saliza is here. Gary Braun is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will run the board. Nigel will do news. This is a Monday worth devoting quickly. We have a lot of gifts. I'll get to them tomorrow. We have shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't think we're going to do a Friday show this week. We'll get to all of the scheduling things. But today is a day to review a tremendously important sports weekend in terms of the NBA and the NHL. And so we're going to get right into it. Later in the show, we will have Tim Legler. I will start with the basketball because more people care about basketball than hockey, by the ratings, obviously. And we are set again for Cleveland and Golden State for the fourth straight time. On Friday, and I may have done this prematurely, I gave Wilbon a lot of credit for saying from the top of the year on that regardless of where Wilbon was on the day-to-day, he had said at the beginning of the year that we will not get this matchup again. And I thought, and I will say this, I've said this 1,000 times here and on PTI, that I came in with LeBron James and I'm going out with LeBron James. But I didn't think they were going to win in Boston. I didn't. I didn't see any reason to believe that they were going to win in Boston, particularly without Kevin Love. And then what happened was that Boston got nothing from Marcus Smart and nothing from Terry Rozier, nothing. So, and we'll ask Legler about this later. That ought to end the let's trade Kyrie Irving and give the team to Terry Rozier. And got nothing from Jaylen Brown, nothing. They shrunk from the moment. And LeBron never shrinks from the moment. Right. Now, it is being said that this is LeBron's greatest achievement, bringing this group to the finals. No, your greatest achievement is winning. Winning the whole thing is your greatest achievement. But this is pretty good. Cleveland with LeBron. LeBron, this is eight straight times to the finals for one guy. This does not happen. Michael Jordan didn't do it. Magic Johnson didn't do it. You got to go all the way back to the Bill Russell days when there were only eight teams in the league. It's just an entirely different league. LeBron James needs to be applauded for this and not sold short. Even though I think he will lose in the finals, I just find it hard to bet against him when you watch his will. And by the way, and this isn't said enough, he's a monster.
Yep.
He's 6'8", 260. He's got the body of Karl Malone and the speed of a guard. That we've never seen. You people who talk about how other people are better than LeBron James, not even going to get into that. There's two physical people that we've seen in the life of basketball that nobody has seen before. Wilt Chamberlain and LeBron James. That's it. That's the list. Their bodies are different than the others. So I don't bet against them. On the other side is Golden State. And we can talk. Houston gagged. They gagged. Don't talk to me about Chris Paul. They had open threes. They're professional basketball players. They missed 27 threes in a row. That's almost impossible. 27 threes in a row. Trevor Ariza.
Whoa.
Hello.
A
thanks
Freeza.
For coming. Whoa. Get out. Here's a parting gift. He stunk. James Harden, for the second game in a row, mm-hmm. and probably the fourth out of seven, gassed in the second half and gave them nothing. Nothing. He's the MVP. I get that. He gave them nothing in the second half when they needed leadership, when they needed a great player, when Cleveland has LeBron, Houston didn't have him. He wasn't any good in the second half. Am I wrong on this?
No,
they've blown.
Wait,
big leagues.
What you say about Harden is interesting because if you looked at the box score this morning and you saw 32, 6, and 6 with four steals, you'd say, all right, well, now he.
What did he do in the fourth?
Close to 30 shots to get it, but he was.
What did he do?
He was the. When you were talking about LeBron James, whether or not you're going to stop him ultimately comes down to one thing. How tired is he? Because if he wants to just get to it and drop it in, he's going to do that.
He does.
If he's worn, he'll, you know, maybe he'll settle for a jump shot, and you got a better chance of stopping him. Harden, I mean, the Rockets, you got a game
Chris
seven
Paul
at home.
Chris Paul bailed him out in two victories in the second half.
The difference seems
33-15 at home in that third quarter.
Yeah. The difference to me seems to be LeBron is a generational talent, and James Harden is an outstanding basketball player.
He's a great player.
LeBron carried that team, even though he is older and his workload is as high, if not higher. Because I was going to say,
played every minute.
Whereas Harden had to handle the ball the whole year, for the most part. LeBron did all those things.
And LeBron is playing defense, bringing the ball up the floor for 48 minutes.
For the first time, and maybe I've just missed it, but for the first time after that game seven, people that I think are very smart on Twitter, sports people, sports reporters, began the "Is he better than Jordan?" conversation.
It's different. I don't compare.
I think it's very hard to compare.
Harden missed 39 of his last 48
he's
threes.
Tired.
Wow.
He's tired.
That's not good, is it?
No, if you're a great player, you will yourself to do better than that. He is the MVP in the regular season. I thought he was last year too, ahead of Westbrook. But he
should have been.
He wasn't. You know, he's not LeBron. And by the way, the one thing I do want to—I don't know if this will happen. I hope it happens. I want to see Durant guard LeBron. I want to see that in the finals. I like to see that.
I just feel like Golden State. Golden State is so much better than the teams that they're playing, and I know they don't show it, and I know that
they
went to seven games,
They appear disinterested.
They appear to not try super hard. I mean, down double digits in six and seven.
This
like
isn't
six,
that
Michael?
Hard.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they won both games.
They have two of the best five players. And four of the best 20.
Yeah.
Nobody else has that. They should win.
12-point favorite, game one.
Well, they should win. We'll ask Legler about that. Right. The other big news, and this is more local than national, though it's national because it's the finals of the Stanley Cup. The Caps lose. I didn't get any texts from Sands saying I love
sports.
He
was quiet last night.
Yeah,
I didn't get anything from Sands.
Not loving sports.
Playing low.
The Caps lose 6-4. They led three different times in the game. There was scoring by both teams in every period.
Very exciting.
When does that happen?
Yeah.
That was fabulous. Yeah. That game was fabulous. They were up 4-3, the Caps. And
were
then
you
they
awake
lost.
Past the, you stayed up past the opening
I was
number?
Into the third. I got into the third. Tom Wilson, a felon, slams into a guy. He's going to be suspended for that.
Ran into him.
He's going to be suspended for that. I want to spend time on this. By the way, the Caps caught Fleury on a bad night. And still lost. I don't know what it means because it's game one. I don't. You know what? Game one
means Knights are up 1-0.
It doesn't really mean much. I don't think there's anything in front of you that you can say for sure after game one. And so I'm
the
not
one worry is they give up. They give up their leads quickly, and you would like to see them reverse that in the finals.
Yeah, but it wide open
but all,
game.
But all that said, you have and you were probably asleep at this point, Tony. But with about 40 seconds left, Holtby pulled. You have Lars Eller in front of a wide open.
It was
net.
Right there. I mean, he just missed it.
I don't want to say he whiffed because I think the defender
got a piece
of his.
Well, he was moving in the other direction too. It wasn't like a.
So it was like
yeah,
Tampa Bay.
Piece
thing.
Of his
he could have
when
scored
when Tampa Bay had it right in the face.
Yes. Yeah, even more so. Even more so. Because
Mark
Andre
Fleury
is
totally out of nice whiffed.
I
draw
a post late there.
Are we agreed? We draw no conclusions.
Correct.
From that. Not from that. Not
yet. I'm still planning on going to Vegas for game five, so I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
So I want to get into the opening ceremony, the big Vegas production.
Conquering enemies by land, sea, and air.
Yeah.
The West belongs to Vegas.
Yeah, and Michael Buffer and all of that.
So good.
A little less with Michael Buffer, because Michael Buffer to me is. You know,
Get ready to rumble.
Yeah, okay. He doesn't even. It's not even that good anymore.
That's true. Right. Please do not. That was not meant to impersonate him.
I'm going to take a minority view on this. I was offended by it, me personally. Sometimes you say your relationship with another human being, somebody says, is he unpleasant? And you go, no, he's not unpleasant, but he's not pleasant. There are differences.
Nigel.
There's active sort of dislike, and then there's passive dislike, and there's grades for a lot of things. I understand that they want to light the world on fire. I understand that they want to do this gothic thing. A, this is Memorial Day, when people have actually died defending the country. It's not a video game where everybody shoots the arrows and everybody falls down, and then the last knight of Nih goes out there and chops somebody's head off. And not only that, it's Mandalay Bay. It's Las Vegas. The worst mass killing we've ever had in this country inflicted domestically by one of our own. It's just, that to me was bad. And I know I'm in the minority, and I know everybody's going to say, oh, grow up, you know, it's all entertainment. But I winced at it. I did. Your thoughts? Not Memorial Day and not like, you know, they have all that Vegas Strong.
It's
Do you know
just,
why it's Vegas Strong?
Yes.
Because somebody shot over 100 people and killed them.
Yeah. I didn't.
Am I crazy on this one?
That part of it, I did. It was not lost on me that it is Memorial Day. And that the.
Do it the second game.
The pregame ceremony here, had the Caps been hosting, would have been a little bit.
Would have been that. Would have been much more subdued. Would have been, we're really happy to be here, and let's not forget how we got here.
I didn't make the Vegas Strong connection. I mean, I think that's a fair point. No, I mean, I know that's why they say Vegas Strong, but I didn't judge the appropriateness based on that. I just sort of shrugged my shoulders and said, Vegas. But, I mean, it was definitely too much.
Bothered me.
They had an opportunity where they felt like the world was watching. And most hadn't been. I mean, it's Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm just saying,
I was more offended just because I thought it wasn't very well done.
It looked like a bad medieval times,
a bad attempt to try and latch on to the Game of Thrones, phenomenon. And but what made me laugh so much is when they have the fake, you know, cannonballs and fiery arrows that are, you know, supposedly messing up the ice with the electronics. And then the ice is actually an issue in the game.
I just wanted to wish everyone a happy Memorial Day and note that we have
great.
The best economy in decades, the lowest yes. unemployment numbers for blacks and Hispanics ever,
well,
and women in 18 years, rebuilding our military and so much more. Nice!
Okay.
So the point I would say is that
I winced
like,
at
like that's
it.
The
I
did. That's the president of the United States celebrating, commemorating Memorial Day. So it's difficult. I didn't watch it. I was too busy watching my son pitch two shutout innings.
The notion of Memorial Day is difficult.
Yeah,
for me.
No, I would agree.
It is difficult.
It is.
And I live with all of that.
And
I understand
an outlier,
the sales.
But I think it's defensible.
I understand the sales, and I understand the spirit of buoyancy and all of that. But when you have that sort of moment and you spend it killing people, I just thought, why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Wouldn't it be better to bring out some showgirls? You know, wouldn't that be better?
Well, they were there too. But I think it
Johnny
just gets chalked up to because Vegas. I mean,
right.
It's just
where excess is what you go for.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it wasn't like this was a one-time thing that they've done.
Well, they do it all the time.
No,
yeah,
they
have, I mean, apparently, as I was reading up, when they were playing the Winnipeg Jets, they had like an image of a massive jet getting cut in half. It's very much over the top, but that's what you sort of expect from people who live in Las Vegas, right?
I'm just saying that on this particular day, on the day that it started, just change it a little bit to be cognizant of the fact that in other places in this country, there are very solemn ceremonies which are marked by graveside vigils. That's all I'm suggesting. And now I will bear the brunt of people saying, oh, grow up.
No, I think that's fair.
That graves Kornheiser.
Listen,
he just doesn't like Vegas.
I do like Vegas.
On social media, which I was consuming during
social
that ceremony.
Social media, what's that like?
There, versus the traditional media of the
Twitter?
Television box. There was a lot of talk about that ceremony, and very little of it was, wow, this is awesome.
Is that right?
I mean, most of it was like, can we get on with the game?
Right.
What is this?
It pushes the start of the game back
like
by
20
one
minutes.
Half period.
It's very long. It's very long. So, anyway, that's it. That's
Tone, are we doing the Champions League final?
Not in this segment. soon.
Soon. To talk of the world.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Tim Legler will join us when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Brooklinen ad, and the first thing it says under introductions and thought starters, talk about the new bedding you discovered. I'm not Christopher Columbus.
Discovered.
Hey,
look at this bedding buried.
Wow.
Here.
Magellan. I'm digging in the dirt, that and map, there's a whole bed. Look with that Brooklinen map was sheets. Right. Wow, what happened? So I didn't really do that. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets. Brooklinen.com, which I've gotten, which I like a lot. The best, most comfortable sheets without a big markup. Upgrade your nightly routine. Help you feel more rested every single day. The company was founded in April of 2014 by the husband and wife team, Vicky and Rich Fullup. I don't know which team they're on. Maybe they're on the Vegas Golden Knights. Their philosophy,
not
the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials, no crazy prices, no unnecessary markups or fees. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 20,000 five-star reviews. Brooklinen sheets have been named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Fantastic category.
Who knew?
I have no idea. They come in versatile colors and patterns. You can mix and match to complement any decor. This is luxury bedding underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer for listeners of this high-quality podcast in which you can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code Tony at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is use the promo code Tony at Brooklinen.com. That is Brooklinen.com, promo code Tony. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Who is this, Nigel?
This is Nate Harrar, who goes by the name of Dalton. Yes, we played him a bunch of times before. Love his music. Dalton, by the way, named after Patrick Swayze's character in Roadhouse. This song is called Second... No, that's a true story.
That's awesome.
Yes, isn't it fantastic? This song is called Second Life Afterglow, which is just terrific.
Tim Legler joins us now. He stays up all day and all night. He talks to Van Pelt. He talks to everybody. And now he's talking to us. Let me get to this thing that I need an explanation for. You were a shooter. You were a shooter primarily when you played in the league. There are a lot of good shooters out there, and sometimes they miss. And I understand that. Houston missed 27 straight threes. And Boston, in the day before, with Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier, they could not find the basket. Is this a case of gagging, which is what I think it is, just gagging, or is there an explanation that you would understand as a shooter?
I think in each particular guy's case, I think it's a little bit different, but I do think absolutely, in the case of the Boston Celtics, I think that was pressure. I think the pressure just got to those guys. They're young players. Jaylen Brown and Rozier in particular were the guys that were missing the most, and Smart's a veteran guy, he's been around a little bit longer, but he's not a pure shooter. So when you take a guy that's not a pure shooter, you put him in an environment like that, and then he misses a few in a row to start, you can end up with something like you saw the other night in Boston. Brown and Rozier, really young players, first time they went through something to that extent, and again, their confidence just completely wavered. So that kind of explains that. In the case of Houston, I think it absolutely got to the point where those guys felt so much pressure to just do something, to take some of the pressure off of James, that they felt the weight of the world in every shot they took. And again, you have some guys like Trevor Ariza, who's a good shooter. You know, he can make threes, not a pure shooter. P.J. Tucker is a defender, rebounder.
Are you in a, Tim, are you in a car? Are you moving? Because your phone is really kicking out.
No, I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm actually totally stationary in my hotel room.
Okay, all right, let's try it. Jared, you're explaining about Tucker and Ariza.
Yeah, again, those are guys that, you know, they're not pure shooters. Like, the stroke isn't pure to where if you miss a few and you're still getting good shots, eventually you're going to make a shot. Those are guys that are sort of like rhythm guys, and then when you add on the weight of the fact of they've got to make shots to help James Harden, and they know the spotlight that they're in without Chris Paul.
Yes.
Like, one of us has to start making shots. You start to then think about the last miss and the last miss and the last four misses, and now you're not just, you know, clear of mind on the next one. So it's a combination of both. I also do think, in the case of James Harden, absolutely fatigue plays a factor for James Harden. When you dribble the ball that much to score and that's sort of your game, and most every single shot you take is contested, you can run into a situation like James Harden did as well. So I think it's a combination of factors, but absolutely pressure played an enormous part in both of those teams.
So let me get to Harden, because Harden is going to be the MVP. Harden is a terrific basketball player, and the analogy I would make is to John Wall. John Wall gets into a fourth quarter of a game and gasses completely. And people say, oh, he's tired. Well, you know, they have coaches. That's why they pay coaches, to get him out of the game so he's not tired. But when he's in the game, he's not any good. And James Harden, in the last two games, in the second halves of the last two games, because his numbers would indicate, you know, he had good games. But he didn't, Tim, in the second halves of the last two games. To what do we ascribe that?
Well, I think nothing James Harden does is easy. And, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a guy that works as hard as James Harden does to get what he gets. Yeah. And that's the way he likes to play, and that's the way Mike D'Antoni likes his system to be. So you're going to put the ball in the hands of a guy, and I've done touch screens on James Harden on possessions in which he took 25 dribbles prior to shooting the ball.
Wow.
That's exhausting over the course of a game. So, look, part of it is pressure affects him too. He's just not a great clutch player. He's just not. He never has been. You go back to the finals when he was young, coming off the bench to Oklahoma City, and look at the way he played when he got there. He has great numbers. He's never been what I would consider a clutch player. And on top of it, the amount of energy he's using up in the course of the game to get his points, it absolutely comes back to bite him late when you need him to make shots from distance against good defenses, which Golden State is. They've got good defenders to play him, and now you're completely, you know, exhausted, fatigued, and you're not a clutch player. Well, you're going to get some historically bad shooting, which is what you saw.
So everybody who I watched on TV, when Chris Paul went out, said Houston cannot win this game. They could not win six, and they could not win seven. You expected a double-digit loss on the part of Houston. Chris Paul has not had great success in the playoffs himself, but I take it you take him out of there and they cannot compete with Golden State, right?
Yeah, you take him off the floor. The problem is when they're playing a team like Golden State, you have to have another guy opposite the primary ball handler who can also get where he wants to go with a live dribble, because that's the way Houston plays. They don't do a lot of, you know, cutting and screening and weak side stuff and ball reversals. They don't play like Golden State does when they're playing well, or even Boston when they're playing well. They got away from it the other night, but that's not how Houston plays. And so if that primary guy doesn't have it and he swings it, that ball better end up in the hands of another guy that can do that, because that's all their offense is going to do, and they're going to put shooters in the corners, and then they're going to have Capella, you know, set the first pick and run to the rim. So two guys are going to have to be able to break you down off the dribble at the top. And Chris Paul, honestly, was won two games for them. He was a better player against Golden State than James Harden was. So you take him off the floor, and I knew that it was just going to be basically an impossible task. Now, they got off to an incredible start because they were throwing Golden State all over the building in the first half physically. They had 11 offensive rebounds. It just looked like a team that wanted it so much more than Golden State did. Once the Warriors could hit the reset button at halftime, they came out in the third quarter, which they did throughout this series, throughout the playoffs, and they were dominant in the third quarter, which has been their MO. And once they got rolling and they got the game tied, you could kind of see where it was headed.
So I watched these games with Golden State, and they have two of the best five players in the league and four of the best 20 players in the league. And if they play well, nobody is going to beat them. But there is, to me, a sort of an air of, like, who really cares about this right now? And don't worry about it, because in the third quarter, we're going to be fine. And I wonder if you see them as vulnerable because they're They're just so good that they don't play as hard as they should all the time.
Yeah, there is a vulnerability to this team that is significantly greater than the prior 3 years. There's no doubt about it. And I think LeBron James sitting back watching that game and watching that team throughout the postseason, he knows that. And he's telling his team that right now. Like, this is the year you can get them. And they've been inconsistent with their attention to detail in playing the style that makes them great, that we fell in love with, that captivated really the entire basketball world, the way that this team played.
Yeah,
they
I agree.
They go through stretches where they don't play that way, where it becomes, you know, trying to get kill shot after kill shot, and they fall into the trap where they look a little bit like Houston, or KD starts to play a little bit like he did in Oklahoma City, where he's just going to stick his arm out, even though he's guarded, and they're going to give it to him, and then other guys are going to kind of stand around and watch. That's not who Golden State is at their core. That's not when they're at their best. When they play the way that we've become accustomed to, there is no team that can beat them. But they contribute to their own demise very often these days. And when that happens, you get situations like they have found themselves in repeatedly throughout the playoffs, and certainly why they found themselves in a seventh game on the road in this series, because they contribute to it. They choose not to play the way that makes them impossible to defend for long stretches. And that's, you can see how exacerbated Steve Kerr is a lot of times, because he doesn't understand why would you not just move the ball, cut screen, play with pace, let a bunch of guys touch it on the same possession, and know we've got the greatest shooting team that's ever been assembled. Don't play one-on-one basketball, and they fall into that trap sometimes.
So, yeah, I mean, I look at it and I say to myself, there is no conceivable way, none, if both teams play to their best, that Golden State doesn't win in a maximum of five, and they probably should win in four. They are so significantly better than Cleveland, and yet part of me thinks, you know, LeBron will do some. LeBron will just hang in there long enough. And I've watched Golden State, particularly with Durant in the last 2-3 minutes, doesn't even shoot. He doesn't even shoot, and he's an unstoppable player. So that's the part of me that wonders, can Cleveland actually steal this? Or do you say, no, not over seven? They just can't.
You're basically reading my mind, because this is where I've been all along in kind of anticipating this matchup was going to take place. And I look at the two teams and I say, I'll take it a step further. There is no logical basketball explanation you can give me why they won't sweep them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's nothing you can tell me that why Golden State won't win every one of these games. And yet, watching them play and go stretches of games where they play the way I did, and I also think, Tony, for some reason, more so this year than last year, because they had Durant last year too, for some reason, more so this year, I see almost a deference to him from his own teammates that hurt them, where they feel like, oh, well, KD's got to...
Yeah, he'll bail us out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a switch on this possession. Well, then let's just give it to KD because, you know, he's KD.
Yeah.
But that's not who they are. And so their vulnerability tells me, and the way LeBron is playing, which I personally believe is the best basketball of his career, that tells me that somehow Cleveland finds a way to get not just one, I think they might get two games in this series.
Yeah. Tim, thank you so much for being on. I appreciate it. I know that you're on all day and all night. I mean, it's too much. You should get more money. Thank you, Tim.
It's always my pleasure. Always my pleasure to join you, Tim.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Tim Legler, boys and girls, who's really good. There are a lot of jocks out there that do this for a living, ex-jocks, and they tend not to be critical. They tend to tell you everybody's great all the time. Legler actually is critical, and it's really refreshing. We will take a break. We will come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Squarespace read. Have you ever thought about starting a blog? Do you have products or services to sell? Maybe you have a business to promote or an upcoming event to announce. Well, a dream is just an idea that doesn't have a website yet. Make it a reality with Squarespace. What is it?
I am using Squarespace.
Really?
Yes, I had to create a website to sell the book, Salty the Sea Cat.
Right.
It's actually Simon the Sea Cat. I don't know it.
Right.
So last night I was on Squarespace. It's a fantastic site. I'll be building the site this week.
Well, wait. Do you enjoy free and secure hosting, built-in search engine optimization, and analytics that help you grow in real time?
You and I talk about this all the time.
And
yes.
With Squarespace, you don't ever have to worry about a glitchy-looking mobile interface because everything's optimized for mobile right out of the box.
So true.
Right. Again, we were talking about that just the other day.
So keep dreaming, Nigels, of the world, but make it a reality and make it stand out with a website from Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com/TonyK for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch... which happens, use the offer code TonyK to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us from Mark Hatcher, guitarist for the DC-based band Leftist. And this is their new single, Strength for the Shaken. And he writes, instead of using this time to talk about our band, I'd like to make a plea to your audience to support local artists by attending shows, following on social media and telling their friends. DC has wonderful artists such as Thalo Blue, Cecily, Gump, Bomani Arma, and Maimuna Youssef, who will blow you away. Thank you, Tony, for using your platform to spotlight local independent artists. Michael, if people want to send us their music, and everybody's local somewhere... just like it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And in some countries, it's actually 5:30 when it's 5 o'clock in the rest of the world. How do they send their stuff in?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
At the end of every podcast, we play the music in full.
Oh, you're still doing that?
I think so.
Okay.
Are we
making,
not?
Just making
yes.
sure.
Yeah. We use it as bumper.
We also
now.
Do a laser show at the end of the the podcast as
we
well.
Have knights.
It's Game of Thrones
yeah,
themed.
We have knights themed. Who shoot arrows into the air. All right. You can take this back. We have news. Nigel does news.
Can I get it? Make
yes.
an announcement quickly?
Yes, yes. Are we
so,
selling?
So, with Father's Day just around the corner, we have
rapidly
a promo
approaching.
Code. And throughout the next couple days and the weeks, I will announce some of the prizes that people can win by sharing their photos on social. But in honor of the little boy's birthday in a couple weeks, we have a new code, Bootsie1.
Bootsie1.
Bootsie1. So go out there.
The number one.
The number one.
The number one.
Bootsie
okay.
one.
Bootsie one.
I like it.
Yeah. Bootsie one, Houston zero.
It sneaks up on you that first birthday.
It's not sneaking up on it anybody. Does. We got it circled on the calendar.
We're looking at what we're going to do for his party.
What do you think you're going to do? Are we going to rent out the White House? What are you thinking about?
There's a Nats Phillies game.
Okay.
Little guy down there.
Okay.
But then the worry is, do we invite you? Do we invite?
Oh no! Don't invite me.
Invite me.
No, don't invite me.
I'm right
no,
here.
Don't.
Is something in your throat?
No.
Don't invite me.
Can you babysit that day?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a terrific babysitter.
What do we have?
I saw you with Bootsie our last day. You held Bootsie. I got to witness that.
Briefly.
And then I saw Bootsie
squirm.
Yeah, it appeared to be like a Heisman maneuver.
Yeah, just
not interested in
yes. it. By the way, I also like to point out that the band Leftist that we just played,
lovely.
They sent that in too late for us to get on the show on Friday. But they had a great show yesterday at Kennedy Center's Millennium Stage to help celebrate Memorial Day.
Yeah,
so they'll have other gigs and we'll highlight
yes,
that.
We
just
will.
It had
yes,
kind of a Lou Reed feel to it.
A little bit, yes.
I mean, I like
Velvet
it a lot.
Underground.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nope.
No, you're
not
hearing
my opinion.
All right, well, there you go.
Still great
so that's
music. Jerk.
So we're all agreed then, right?
Yes.
Okay. The Washington Nationals, Mr. Tony. Well, they sure love to beat up on bad teams, as we talked about before the show began.
Beat San Diego 2 out of 3. Miami all 3.
Sweat the Marlins. And then the Orioles really are having a tough year this year, and the Nats just beat them up.
It was a
6-0.
Stunning game
6-0.
In the sense.
6-0. God, you're the worst.
You say
who's pitching?
Gio Gonzalez, and he didn't even have 150 pitches through
went
four.
Deep.
He went 7+. He threw 114 pitches and then begged to come out. Looked in the dugout for Davey. And, you know, I'm done. And you know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Then they put in Sean Kelly, who...
was ready to try and lose as many runs as he could.
Right.
Just awful. They got enough early. Rendon hit a 3-run pop. They have Baltimore again today and tomorrow, right?
Yeah, these are the series you need to win.
Need to win them.
You need to win all the games you can before you go to Atlanta and then see what happens in Atlanta.
Yes.
But we were happy to see that the injury to Acuna does not look as serious as we first thought.
FP had him breaking his leg.
Yep.
Said it looks like a broken leg.
So he's batting 500 right now?
I think sprained MCL.
Family physician batting 500 now on his injury calling, right?
He was right about the Achilles.
He had the Achilles correct, but this one, he went deep on this one. To broken leg. It's not a broken leg.
To the Indy 500, Will Power is your winner.
Lady right. Will Power.
Lady Will Power. He had won 31 IndyCar races and 45 poles over his 10-year career, but never won Indy.
An Aussie. An Aussie. Isn't that nice?
Yes, and apparently he's also lactose intolerant. And his doctor said,
what did he do with the milk? He
drank
the milk.
He said, you know what? I'm here. Of course I'm going to drink this milk. And apparently he's also screaming uncontrollably after the win.
I watched it.
Yes.
It is pointed out that he won the race because a few laps before that, the leader had to go get gas.
Gets me every time.
Is he going to pay cash?
Yeah.
Isn't this part of a car race? Isn't your strategy to know what?
Yeah, run out right at the end.
Yeah, what are you
doing? Somebody named Nigel in the pit crew?
What are you doing? They needed gas.
Reset the board.
They needed gas.
Here's the deal. So we got five laps left. On. Just pit. It's going
to
be fine.
Hold on. Hold on. I forgot.
Wait
to
a minute.
We got to get gas.
I forgot to carry that one. Forgot to carry that one.
In the old days, when ABC, and ABC is the only people who've ever put the show on. In the old days, when they did it on tape delay with Jackie Stewart and Jim McKay, it was the greatest sports show I ever saw. Because they cut and pasted in such a way that you were thrilled by it. Now, like all auto races that are on live, after a while, you say to yourself,
"Terminable.
What am I doing? What am I doing?
Unwatchable.
Tough to watch."
So the Indy 500 this year marks the 26th anniversary of what momentous occasion in DC sports broadcasting?
I don't know.
That would be the beginning of your radio career.
WTEM, yes. Which no longer exists. Well, correct. It exists. It has different buyers now. It has different owners now.
Yes.
It has Urban One. Yeah.
That's right.
Danica Patrick, last race.
Crash
did not finish.
Crashes early. But you know what? She goes home to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
It's fine. Her life is good right now. I've met her. A pal of Wilbon's, of course. A neighbor of Wilbon's, of course. In one of the many houses Wilbon has, of course. She's got that real handshake.
Adrian Peterson
she's
style.
Got that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Dexter Manley, let me break your hand.
She's 5'1".
Yeah.
5'1 or 5'2". And she doesn't want you to not take her seriously. And so you do. She's very pretty. She's very well spoken. She does something that is terrifying to me. She goes, 200 miles an hour in the car. I would never do that. So my guess is that she has and I don't know her at all, a similar personality to Lindsey Vonn.
What
are we waiting around here for?
Right.
That's the personality.
Right.
Let's go.
I like my trademark to be a very soft-handed handshake. A lot of people like a firm handshake. I go the opposite.
The limp fish.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
That sweaty palm.
What else? That's what you're known for. Justin Rose is your winner at the Fort Worth Invitational. His first PGA Tour victory at the Jack Nicklaus
Colonial
Tournament. Yeah. 20 under at Hogan's Alley.
Wow. So the last day he's paired with Brooks Koepka, who was the defending Open champion, will defend his title in a few weeks at Shinnecock. And Brooks Koepka kept him honest the whole way, right, Michael?
Yeah.
And they were going 65-65 on the last day, something like that.
A great battle for a Sunday. And the big story for me is you have to look at Justin Rose's putting. Historically, he's not a great putter. He still looks uncomfortable, but he's beginning to tuck the left sleeve of his shirt into his armpit to square up his shoulder. And his numbers are great. And you really have to look at him at Shinnecock in a few weeks with the way he's playing.
Because he hits it straight.
Hits it straight. Very solid ball striker. But then Koepka, I mean, he can overpower Shinnecock in a couple weeks.
Koepka looks like a tight end in the NFL. Koepka is massive.
What are his his numbers? How big is he?
He's really a big boy. So, what else?
Congratulations to Yale.
Oh, so this is important.
Yes, they win the NCAA lacrosse championship, beating Duke 13-11. Now, this is not the first title. It's the first NCAA title. The first lacrosse title they won was in 1883. I believe you were there for that match.
Yes, I was in junior high then.
Running lines.
I was still doing stats. Me and Marty Aronoff. We were there for that. So this is the Ivy League, which supports sports like no other league. I mean, they have every sport in the world. But the Ivy League does not have, their lacrosse teams are not all varsity teams. Like Penn's team was a club team, was it not?
Incorrect. They're all varsity teams.
Okay, then they're all varsity teams.
Had it.
I got that one wrong.
Hey, Princeton is one of the most storied programs.
Yeah.
Princeton, Johns Hopkins, there's a lot of Syracuse, Cornell.
Georgetown.
I never heard of Yale lacrosse. Mm-mm. I was totally unfamiliar with Yale lacrosse. Duke's won four times in the last 7 or 8 years. In the Hardwick household, I'm wondering, Michael, we need to find out.
We got the text from Moni.
All right, now
Moni's a Yaley.
And Thayer's a Yaley.
Thayer is a Yaley, and Liz
is
turned
Dukie.
Down Yale for Duke.
Right, is a Dukie. So how did that go?
No, Moni just, she texts whenever there's a Yale sporting event, which she only finds out because I guess her alumni groups, you know, email you, and it's always, a you know, some sort of subtle, passive-aggressive email to her daughter. You know, the academics are going to win this one.
Oh, the Dukie.
Wow. That's implied. It's not stated.
Okay. So there was happiness from two out of three.
No, neither one of them watched the game.
How did Liz take it?
She doesn't care. She doesn't watch lacrosse.
Oh,
I root against that. These people already have enough. They're at Yale.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? I mean,
I never thought of Yale as. I never, you know, give it
to Syracuse. They have so little.
But what you forget is all the college lacrosse players are basically related to each other. They are big families.
Oh, yeah.
And these Ivies, they don't give formal athletic scholarships, but they're need blind. You can direct the money to where you want. It's no big secret.
Right.
The bigger story was on the other side of the draw.
You had
Albany.
Yeah.
Albany is good.
I hate Albany, but I root for Albany.
Albany is good at field hockey, too. They're good at that. Is it a big school?
No, none of the state schools in New York are what you would consider big state schools. The four main university centers, Binghamton, Stony Brook, Buffalo's probably the biggest in Albany. I doubt that any of them has 20,000 undergrads.
Albany is definitely good at field hockey and lacrosse. I don't know if they're good at anything else.
Can we look them up? How many undergrads at Albany?
You know, Yale, that was Yale's sixth NCAA tournament in lacrosse since 2012.
What do you mean?
That they made
the tournament?
Yeah. Yeah, so they have like a real team.
Totally
yeah.
unaware. I agree with Michael. Princeton and Cornell are the powers in lacrosse.
Johns Hopkins. Like, there's a handful of teams that I feel like always are in the... Syracuse is definitely in there.
Yeah.
But Yale...
Virginia very often in there. Virginia often in
there. Who won the... Albany won the women's...
No, no, James Madison.
Oh,
James
Madison. Because BC beat Maryland. Yeah. And that, because Maryland had won it like.
Do you know famous grads of James Madison? Steve Buckhantz.
No. Oh, really?
Steve Buckhantz, famous grad of.
Didn't know that.
He probably screamed dagger throughout the entire game. Probably screamed dagger. What else?
If you had Republican Representative Thomas Garrett winning this coming election, you might want to rethink that bet. Garrett has announced that he is going to abandon his run for a second term in Congress. Now, there were some rumors that he and his wife were mistreating staff. He said he wanted to clear that up. He says, no, this is actually, I have an alcohol problem. That is why I am stepping away. Apparently, there's some stories coming out there that he and his wife asked some of his staff members to do personal chores for them.
So what? If you say, could you do me a favor? Could you walk the dog?
Sweep the floor?
Could you go get the laundry? Let's not make this into indentured servitude.
It seemed from, and Chris, you might know better than I do on this.
Oh, I do.
It's as with most things in life, that it wasn't like, hey, could you do me a favor?
No,
you know?
I mean, look, does this kind of behavior, like, I understand your reaction, Tony. Does this kind of behavior happen in Congress? Yes, there's a lot of junior staff, and it's like, hey, can you walk the dog? Hey, can you get my laundry?
Yeah.
Should it happen technically by the rules? Not really.
That's why we have interns.
But
that's why interns exist.
But he spent the last week, the chief of staff quit very suddenly. He spent the last week in a lot of turmoil. He held a Facebook Live event where he said, everything's totally fine. I don't know why all these rumors. And then this came out in the Post
last night. So this isn't enough to sink him. That's not enough. Then he makes an announcement. He says, I'm a good man and I'm an alcoholic. Okay, so he didn't... Look, I don't know this guy, but I do know something about alcoholism. You don't get to be an alcoholic last Thursday.
No, and he talks about that.
He's been for quite some time, and he's run and he's won, and I don't know if he's been effective or not, but I assume he's been effective or else he wouldn't keep winning and he wouldn't keep getting the nomination. I guess I'm wondering, Chris, I think we're going to see a lot of people, we've already seen a lot of people withdraw from public life because I think they are concerned, I'll just use the word concerned and not go deeper than that, with the exposure of certain parts of their lives that they just think, you know, I don't need this.
Not worth it.
I don't want this.
And I would say the incentive of public life is lower than it's almost ever been before. What you get for what you give, particularly for a House member.
Yeah.
I've never understood why anyone west of the Mississippi becomes a member of Congress because the travel is
it's like Wilbon's life.
Right. I mean, you are, if you're,
without
say,
the first class.
Worst case scenario is you're in a competitive district in California,
which means
you have
weekend.
To go home all the time.
Every weekend.
And when you are not on the plane, you are raising money because it costs so much money to run ads.
And by the way, you can't take first class. Because even though you want to and you can afford it, somebody will say, look at him.
Right, look at him. Oh, he's not in first class.
But
right.
He's the 44th Republican to leave. This is a personal circumstances thing. This is not because he's an alcoholic. He wants to deal with it. Doesn't feel like the life in Congress is conducive to doing so. Many of them, and you rarely see
this. The life
in
Congress is conducive to being an alcoholic.
It,
because
you're a million fundraisers
every night.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think you've seen more. Well, I know you've seen more than ever before. Usually they leave to run for something else, Senate, governor, or they have some kind of job lined up. They're the Chamber of Commerce presidency opens up and it pays $1.8 million and they leave. You've seen a lot of them just leave without any future. You know, it's like when you get the announcement at your work, such and such is going to pursue other options. You're like, oh, they don't have another job lined up. So you've seen more of that because I think elected life is...
There's a fear that everybody's looking at everything all the time. And what did I do? Is there anything out there that can get me? And don't you think there's a lot of that?
Yeah, but I feel like that's been the case since the internet came online and cable came online. Like maybe
doesn't seem heightened to you.
Has there ever been this amount of turnover?
There are many more retirements this year than typically. Yes, no question.
SUNY enrollments, Tony?
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
No. I was just going to say what we don't know is it's hard to pinpoint the source of all of them, like why they're leaving.
That's undergrad, all. Binghamton 13, Stony Brook 16.8, Albany 14, Buffalo 21.
They're the biggest. Buffalo's the biggest.
Oh, yeah. Also, while we're doing that, Brooks Koepka, 6 foot 186. He's not that big.
He's big.
That's not
on
a tight
top.
End.
Yeah. He's like really big.
I'd kill for 186. You know. My God.
And just a final word, melancholy at betrayals. This was, I think, at the start of your Memorial Day weekend. Alan Bean passed away.
Yes, an astronaut who was on the moon.
Fourth man to walk
on the moon.
Was on the moon. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we will do Old Guy Radio. Yes?
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is A Whiter Shade of Pale. I think co-written and sung by Gary Brooker, who is 74 today. Is
73.
73 years old today. This is the... among the most... And I don't want to say overpraised, because I love this song. But this is one of the most over-intellectualized pieces of popular music in the 60s and 70s and probably even now. This is loosely based on the Miller's Tale and Canterbury Tales. In terms of critical commentary, I hated the Canterbury Tales. I'm not a Chaucer guy. Chaucer was imponderable to me. I didn't. Shakespeare. Like, you know,
Bill.
Shakespeare.
Right, Bill.
Bill?
Bill got it.
Yes.
Okay? He was completely productive and prolific, and the plots of his plays form the spine of literature for hundreds of years now. And Chaucer,
man,
you know, had a year where he batted .335 and hit 51.
Okay? He's a Brady Anderson.
That's what he was. I mean, let's not go nuts here. You
said Chaucer was juicing?
Let's not compare Chaucer and Shakespeare over the long haul. Michael Englishman, am I wrong on this?
I defer to you on this
one. Is this like Ovi is Tracy McGrady? Could he maybe rewrite history for you or no?
I mean... Chaucer, good. Very, very good. Shakespeare.
I have two notes about this song. This was actually written by Justin Hayward.
Another member of
Justin
the
Bieber.
And he titled the song after a girlfriend gave him a gift of satin bedsheets.
Okay.
Not sure if they were from Brooklyn or not.
I doubted that.
But there you go. And I do know
that. Could have used the code
Tony. Wonder how he discovered them.
Exactly. Yeah. There was a story that the Beatles had a car that they blacked out all the windows in the back seat.
Listen to this.
And this was on an endless loop that they would drive around.
Because it's a fabulous song.
It's fantastic.
And we loved it in Binghamton because of Vestal, New York, one of 16 Vestal virgins was leaving for the coast. And although her eyes were open wide, they might just as well. So, I mean, I know. I get it. But it reminds me of Chaucer. And I didn't do well in Chaucer.
People feel that way.
I did very well in Shakespeare, not well in Chaucer.
Popular take.
Like, so, like with the but let me opening. Get to one thing to begin with. I was blindsided by Gary the other day on this show, talking about the Friday of Jingle Fest.
Well, it's and the Gary show.
You know, and I didn't, I was caught utterly unaware and said there wouldn't be a show. And that is my mistake. Reset the board to zero for me. We will certainly do a show. What Friday is that?
22nd.
Breaking news.
We will certainly do it. We may not do a show that Thursday, but we will do a show that Friday because all the Jingle Fest people will be in town, and I'd love for them to be a chatter. I would. I didn't know what on earth you were talking about.
Well, apologies. I didn't intend to blindside you. I just know. You wouldn't close on the Super Bowl, right? You know, so, I mean, we'll do a show.
We're going to do a show. That's one.
Littles are in town. Awesome.
Two is, this is very local. Except it was on the national news. The flooding in Ellicott City, Maryland.
Wow.
Just 2 years ago, they had this rampaging flooding through their downtown business area. I don't know if it extended to the residential area.
No, it's pretty much
I'm unfamiliar with Ellicott City. But it wiped out everything. Everything.
Killed people. I want to say like six people
and
died.
And it said it was a 1,000-year flood. Yep. I'm not a math major. Well, it's 2 years later. Yeah. It's 2 years later, and one person at least is lost at the moment.
Yes, that's right.
We don't have resolution on that. And if you rebuild, I don't know that you're going to rebuild again. And I just wonder, what are you familiar with the geography of Ellicott City? Are they in a bowl or something?
I am a little bit. So it's near, I don't know if it's the Patapsco. It's near a river, but Main Street is in a little bit of a valley.
Of a depression?
Yeah, a little bit of a valley. And apparently there's been, like everywhere, sort of in this general area, in this region, there's been a tremendous amount of construction. I remember a lot of talk
with
the Houston flood, the same deal. And when you pave over what was
grass
and green and
there's
dirt.
There's nowhere for it to
go. There's nowhere for water to go. So now you've paved over everything, and it's just all running downhill. And if you haven't seen video of this,
terrifying.
I don't know how you would describe it, but it's...
Cars are just being... house comes down.
Yeah.
It just comes down.
You know what's amazing? My in-laws, who live in Texas, sent us a note and a text and said, is everything okay? And I said, what? It didn't even rain.
Didn't even rain.
Like
where
it did
I was.
Not rain where we were. Yeah. And they said, "Have you seen the pictures?" They said, "No, we've been out all day."
Ellicott City, and I think of this. We joke about this, and we probably shouldn't joke about this, but I concede we've done this in the past about La Plata, about how they seem to be on the tornado
magnet every time,
all the time. La Plata, so they have bumper stickers: La Plata shaken but not stirred. In Ellicott City, they took 9 inches of rain.
It's unbelievable.
In a period of hours.
And it did not rain.
Like, we had all that rain a week ago. They took 9 inches of rain. Where does it go? Where does it go?
Would help put this in perspective for us.
It'll find the low point. I had a little bit of drizzle.
We took Bootsy to Great Falls on the Virginia side, and you're looking at these river basins where there's actually space for the water to go, but to just see the raw power of it.
Oh, my gosh.
And you start to wonder, what would you actually do? Because you always see somebody in a car trying to drive through low-flooded area, and you say, I would never do that until maybe you find yourself. But that what happened up in Ellicott City is scary.
These are SUVs flying down the road, spinning around. Nobody's they're just taken off the road by the power of this. I hadn't seen anything like that. And this is twice now in 3 years.
And I don't know.
Years.
You bring up a good point. I don't know
do you rebuild?
What you do.
What do you do there? I mean, you've sunk your life savings into it now. This would be twice, three times.
You might be in the process still of rebuilding from the last one.
Somewhere. I mean, and I imagine if you do rebuild, it's certainly not insurable for that sort of event at this point.
Not now.
No.
Yeah.
Not now. All right. So what did everybody do for the weekend? Chris, what'd you do?
The best thing I did was go to see Cirque du Soleil. It's at Tyson's.
Always fun.
I'm sorry, did you say see or perform in?
Well, they wanted me, obviously. Talking on television is one of the things that it's a real skill. The kids had never been to Cirque du Soleil. It's set up 15 minutes, 10 minutes from our house at the Tyson's Mall.
They do it right in that vacant lot.
It is.
Right?
It's amazing. Yeah. I wouldn't want to do it.
Here's the problem.
Myself.
I'm continually afraid that I'm going to witness a live death. I know. I mean, I really am. Some of the stuff that they do is so harrowing.
And
but they don't get shot out of cannons.
They do not. The one thing I will say is it is the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life, the contortionist that have. Yeah. I can't. It's a guy. And it
they
is
always take their heads and wrap them around their necks and then jump around.
No, you can't
do that.
I looked over at my wife and she was like, we're bookending the kids. And the kids are totally fascinated by this. And I looked over at my wife and I saw her dry heave and then look away.
Yeah.
Like it was that, it was haunting is the word I would describe. Yeah. But Cirque du Soleil, I can't recommend it highly enough. It is so awesome. It was so great.
Gary?
It's fun. It's fun with the kids. I remember, I think I talked about this with you here. We went to Sarasota, not this weekend, but with the kids a few years ago to see my folks. And we took them to, there's like a circus school. I think it's like a circus conservatory.
Oh, yeah.
Going down there.
Yeah.
And they do shows there. And Nick Walenda, the guy who walked across the Grand Canyon.
That was the Barnum and Bailey
rope.
Training grounds in Sarasota and in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
So he was performing there. So we said, oh, let's go see this. It'll be great. And it was one of those small circuses where you're sitting very close. I mean, everything is very close. The theater doesn't have 1,000 people in it. And I got the kids all ginned up and excited, and they were young. And we got there, and about 5 minutes into this act, I realized, like, oh, my God, they're going to see someone die tonight.
Yes,
and these guys are, like, on the unicycle. They're on the human pyramid, on the unicycle, on the tightrope.
There's 80 people on the tightrope and on each other's heads.
And they're 30 feet in front of you.
How do you acquire the skill set? I mean, they had this guy. He's on top of, like, 8 things that look like plungers all stuck together.
Yeah.
He's doing pull-ups, push-ups, one-handed,
insane.
He's balancing himself. What is your
background
by which you ascertain those skills?
Well, honestly, most of them begin...
We'll do gymnastics for food or a green card.
Right.
Most of them begin when they're a little older than Bootsy in some country.
And a
where
lot of them are Eastern European. I mean, I know that.
Oh, I thought they were Asians a lot.
There's Cirque du Soleil, most of the names
not a lot
sound
of them
like
from
Croat, Serb,
not a lot of
Russian.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't see the whole
cast.
Yeah,
not a lot of Marais kids.
No.
Not a lot
of fighting frogs up there.
That's a cheap shot.
It is.
McCartney used to do, at the beginning of Paul McCartney shows, on one tour, he would have like a whole Cirque du Soleil before the concert. It was, as you said, Chris, haunting.
Contortionist is like contortionist is part of the like old timey freak show kind of part of the circus. When you used to be, old enough certainly. I used to be able to go to a circus in Connecticut. It was super run down. That had a freak show there.
Yeah, right.
That's not a thing. I mean, circus
that
isn't really a thing anymore.
Barnum thing.
But like contortionist is on the line of this is terrifying that this person can do this, as opposed to like, whoa, he jumped really high in the air, which is more like a wow factor.
Well, the two dudes who do like the feats of strength stuff off of each other, you know,
it's,
like one makes a platform and the other's doing handstands.
I just don't know how.
Well, there's that, and then there's riding around the motorcycle in the little.
That's
like, how do you how do you say, hey, I've got an idea, let's put that motorcycle
or
in
like
there and spin
the,
around.
These two giant hoops.
Yeah,
like big wooden
big
hoops,
loops.
And these two women, they're in them, and they're spinning it around for like 30 minutes.
So the point is, remember when there was all this hand-wringing, will the circus survive no animals?
I miss the elephants.
Yeah.
Like Cirque du Soleil is unbelievable.
I like the orangutans.
Oh, they're
like
always
that.
Fun.
They're good.
The circus will survive.
What?
We got together with some friends, threw some
beanbags,
drank some beer. Oh, you know what I did yesterday? Which I don't know why, but it made me think of you guys for some reason, probably because I was thinking, well, hey, Tony probably never did this for Michael. Yesterday.
Pony ride.
You said the pony?
I spent yesterday morning.
A pony that fit him?
Helping my daughter write her resume, and then the afternoon driving around spraying the area with it and job applications as she's out there.
I never did that.
Looking for a first gig. That's
You're
what
making
I
her work?
Michael never, ever
I'm not
worked
making,
at an internship.
Not, I don't make my, I'm incapable of making my kids do anything.
When Michael said that he took Bootsy and Liz to Great Falls to watch that stuff,
I saw you shiver
like
a little bit, like you got a chill.
You were like, "Is that outside?"
Liz was surprised that I'd never been there. This is a DC metro area pilgrimage that everybody does.
Billy Goat Trail.
I did.
This was a week of planning because of the little kid. We had like an emergency lunch bag for him, water bottles. We had to plan this. So it was before 11 a.m. It was about 91 with 75-80% humidity. Being the nice guy that I am, I volunteer. So it's a baby ergo. You strap him in, thinking this is, you know, it's going to be
he
a
rides
pleasant,
in front.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, he's looking out. It's going to be a pleasant day on the trail. I was mistaken.
Yeah. No.
After about 30 minutes, you know,
how many
I'm ready
backup
to pass
shirts
out.
Did you bring?
You probably lost 10 pounds.
Three backup shirts.
I hope you said a little silent thanks to your father for never inflicting that on you before.
True.
And then I realized my fear of heights.
What's air conditioned outside that we can go
my
to?
My fear of heights is getting worse as I get older.
Is that right?
So they have these little lookout points that are very secure. I take a photo, I grip the rail. They then have a trail where you can go out on the rocks. And there are these lone guys sitting out there staring off into you know, Harper's Ferry.
Was this
the
is this the Billy Goat Trail? Is that what you were on?
No, this is this
no,
is Great
Falls.
No, he
just went right to Great Falls.
Oh, like, yeah, the river trail.
Like where you can just park and walk right up and they got
But Liz goes out and she's holding onto a tree looking out over the rapids. And she's saying, come out here, take a look. No. I've got the boy strapped on.
Yeah.
I'm looking down, making sure that I have solid footing. But when you have a little boy in a public setting on the park, everybody just stops and says hello. It's the best way to get
chicks.
Good treatment.
Yeah. You sound like you're close to like a hiking shirt and amulets.
Oh, the cars in the parking lot.
Feathers.
Yeah, feathers.
Subarus. It's only Subarus.
And I don't get 100%. This is a trail 15 miles away from downtown D.C. People are showing up in hiking boots. They've got the hiking sticks.
Oh, yeah.
The special hats.
Well, you can't
I just show up with a Nats
stick.
Hat.
Yep. Special hiking hats?
That pretentiousness is just awful.
It's a bit much.
You know what's so funny about that?
There is a spot in every trunk in a Subaru for a hiking stick.
Pretentious. All hiking that stick. Preparing for hiking the activity.
No.
What is that nonsense?
You fill that trunk with your smugness.
Yeah, right.
That's what goes in there.
Yeah, let's get out of here. When we come back, we will do a jingle. Yes.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Some days I'll read Blue Apron. Some days I'll read SeatGeek. Some days I'll read Spotify. Yeah, it is nice and it is short. Some nights I'll be bartender. Some nights I'll pop up cast. Some nights I will show for dinner and take some pics and play to the crowd. Or maybe I'm easy hawking this merchandise for you. But if I was buying it, then I'd need to clip a coupon or two. As long as they're selling razors, as long as the filters need changing, as long as I get free stuff from you, you better believe it, I will do anything for Lou. Oh, I would do.
This is really good.
The end is the best.
The lyrics are by Aaron Reif of Clarksburg, West Virginia. The music, the vocals, are by Joe Arrow, based on a song by my high school classmate, Jimmy Steinman.
That's right.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Let me thank today's sponsors, Squarespace and Brooklinen. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We have all of these things here from Shad in D.C., a haiku for Game 1, Showgirl's going to show, Elvis is going to Elvis, the Cap's going to cap. So that means that he thinks that they're going to lose. Right?
Well, they lost game one.
I don't think that game should convince you of that.
If there was nothing happened there
that felt like old Cavs. Marc-Andre Fleury, he looked very beatable.
Richard M. Kligman. Kligs Kites was going to send you a Capitals flag, but since Nigel decided to go big box and buy it from Amazon, we as the littles at Kligs Kites would like to be the official kite and flag store for the Tony Kornheiser Show. And that's fine. We could use the flag. We did not get a flag. I had emailed back and forth with Sergey, and he said you'll have it. And to my knowledge, we don't have it yet.
And this is why we lost game one.
Yeah. But so nothing got delivered Sunday, Monday.
I know, but
mail.
He knew. Yes, that's why I tried to do it on Thursday and Friday.
Troubling.
And we didn't get it.
The
so
Cap
maybe
One Arena
personal.
Is also on the red line, as is this restaurant.
Good point.
Can I ask a pertinent question?
Nigel, anti-small
business. Does he know who you are?
He may know who I am, and he may know that I coined the term joking dogs.
You also buried it, though, so why should he do anything for you now?
Buried like cheese.
From Timothy Weatherhead, like Dr. Hoff Waff.
Waiterhead.
What? I don't even understand that. That thing. Oh, F, marry, kill, Michael Clayton. That thing you do night and day. Yeah, these are all of the things that I watch. Jason Blazer in Lake Orion, Michigan. Fervor, rigor. Fervor, Edith Saliza.
The last one doesn't even make any sense.
I don't really understand that.
Is that a haiku?
Faisal from Pasadena. Is that Pasadena, California or Pasadena, Maryland?
Yep.
There is a Pasadena, Maryland.
That's right.
The woman to whom I'm related by marriage, and I saw Paul Simon, okay, this is California, perform at the Hollywood Bowl last night. For a guy who's 76, he can still sing and play pretty well. He played 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover as part of his set, and all we could think about was cooking a chicken. Thank you, Joe Arrow. From Dan Holzhauer in Elmont, New York.
Phil.
So when you need a piece of NHL memorabilia, you call the Caps. And when you need to know what channel the game is on, you call the Washington Post. What happens when it's time to order food for Chatter? Hey, Tommy Giacomo, it's Tony. The chili bucket is really running low. Wilbon is on his way over.
Chili bucket.
I'm happy to pay. I just don't know where to get it.
Chili bucket.
From Anthony Clayman in Bethesda, I got Bootsy's Diet Coke. What does it say? I can't read it.
It's a little picture, and it says, have a Diet Coke with...
I'm guessing it says Walker, because that's his name.
Oh, it says Walker? Okay.
It definitely says Walker.
And I've been looking for that Diet Coke for 11 months.
Either that or Waller. Maybe Waller.
From Ismail Kennessy. Call me Ishmael, old sport. You see what I did there? I combined Melville and Fitzgerald for you.
It's not Chaucer.
Anyway, I hope you will provide your insight regarding the exciting Champions League final this past Sunday. I'm waiting for Chris. Did Real Madrid deserve to win a third consecutive title against Liverpool? Did the Welshman, Gareth Bale, show his worth by scoring two goals after coming on as a substitute? Speaking of Welshman, Matthew Rhys is Welsh. I know. Okay, I will hang up and listen to you and Saliza break down the 3-1 Real Madrid win. You're on.
Okay, the real story here, two things. One,
Could you wrap it up?
No. He has time.
Gareth Bale.
I saved time.
Best man bun in the business.
Right.
Great man bun. He scored an amazing bicycle kick, and he scored a goal that the goalie dropped. So the real story is the goalie screwed up two giant plays.
So it was the Liverpool
first goal,
goalie?
The Liverpool goalie, the first goal, he gets the ball. The attacker is waiting right there. He rolls it. The guy just kicks his leg out and it goes in 1-0.
He attempts to throw it to his teammate.
I mean, it's something you would see in my kids' like U9 game.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's the first one. Then the bicycle kick, amazing. Then the last goal, Gareth Bale kicks it from way out and he just tries to punch it out and he misses it.
Oh, he missed it.
And it goes in. I mean, it was... In at that level, with that many people watching, it is one of two of the worst goals you will ever see.
So you think that this goalie will be dropped by his team?
I don't know how he's... I mean, it's very... Again, like, the stage there was significant, and he choked. Like, he did two things that a goalie...
This is more than we've ever done
before. This is terrific.
More than we asked for.
From John Molino in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Wait till we do the World Cup preview.
What is Virginia Senator Tim Kaine thinking? He's already begun his re-election campaign, and he's using the slogan... TK for VA. Did he clear this with you? Do you think he and his supporters will start using the TK salute? That might be enough to get my vote. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Thank you, everyone.
To play us out!
This is music, revolution music. It's for the people of this world. It's just music. Listen to it, then please use it for this world. That you are not alone in this game, this world. We are together when it comes to this. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together, so pump your fist. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together when it comes to this. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together, so pump your fist. I'm not from the same place that you are, still I'm sure we share the same purpose. So when it comes to walking same paths, we two are traveling different circles on the same surface. It's like new gauze over same bruised heart, new cloth over same skin, it's still the same skin. What I mean is wherever you are, we share the same destination. I wonder, don't they see that life goes unbothered? There's more food for the glutton than the starver. Sometimes sacrifice doesn't mean martyr. Those who lead with their heart tend to be the most slaughtered. I know a girl, her name is Marwa. Her mother and brother beat her, her father doesn't want her. So living here is such torture. And every time we begin to swim, there's a bigger fish out to cut the border. Or there's a bigger ship out to waterboard us. Or bigger businesses push you underwater. So being here, there's nothing for her. And I ain't saying honey's wrong, but this is what we should have taught her. That you are not alone in this game, this world. We are together when it comes to this. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together, so pump your fist. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together when it comes to this. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together, so pump your fist. With every hardship comes ease. Try to bring us down, it's too much air to drown. Just breathe. I know that sounds hard to believe, but it's just as hard with Harvard degrees. A wretched heart or a heart on the sleeve. It's still a hard weather, hard and the free. And I find at times I take this for granted, like it's set in stone. I take it for granted. So no longer am I saving the planet from today, which is fam. Let me be grateful and take full advantage. How can I cover your sins? Be more equipped to feel your tears. Cause sympathy's important, but empathy is more real. So you can shame, you can kill, you can lie, you can hurt, but at some point it's worthless. That pain will rise to the surface. Only devils of fire, we're all made of dirt. And if it's one thing you'll find everywhere on this earth, it's us. Nothing perfect, but pertinent cup. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together when it comes to this. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together, so pump your fist. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together when it comes to this. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together, so pump your fist. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together when it comes to this. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together, so pump your fist. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together when it comes to this. You are not alone in this game, this world. We are together, so pump your fist. Nothing does, some of us gotta feel we're worthy of being loved just because. If that don't feel good, nothing does. If that don't feel good, nothing does. Y'all, if this don't feel good, nothing does. Some of us gotta feel we're worthy of being loved just because. If this don't feel good, nothing does. If this don't feel good, nothing does.